Hey, look up in the sky.
It's an eagle.
No, it's a buffalo.
Wait. It's just the native guys.
You got it right, this fella? You got it right, Silver?
But you might want to see this.
What's going on?
It's a powwow.
Hey. Welcome to episode 8 of the Powwow Trail with the Native Guys. I'm your host, Russ. And Chubby is again on hiatus this week, and hopefully he will be joining us sometime again in the near future. But you know what? Have you seen what's been going on at someguytalking.com? What? Someguytalking.com? What is that? Well, you should go check it out. It's this new innovative website. It's taking on the world of the Native American topics. We're bringing the commentary to the internet, and we're talking about the Powwow Trail. But there's a whole lot of topics in the world that we can talk about. And one of the things you ask, how do you take topics and commentary of these topics to discuss on the Powwow Trail? What purpose does it serve to those if you're listening in? Why? Why take these topics and talk about it? Well, let's think about that for a minute. As we've progressed through this work week, and we know it's been a tough work week, it's been a long work week, it's probably been hot. Maybe you're doing that 7-to-3 shift, 8-to-4, 9-to-5, whatever it is that you're working, you're ready and looking forward to that weekend to come, to get relaxed, to sit back. And that's why we invite you to come listen to us here on the Powwow Trail, because we want to get you ready to go with ya. So what do we do here? Well, we take topics of Native American powwows. Yes, that's right, powwows. And we're going to do like play-by-play in sports. Not really, but we try to do that in a way to make it, in a sense, to give you commentary of the things that maybe we've seen, we've noticed, or even have stories of the things that happen at powwow trails, the things you see. You know, we talked to a few weeks ago with Elaine Miles to answer the question of how so do we take these topics. And again, back with Elaine Miles when she was on with Trilby and myself, we were talking about the commercialism of powwows. We tried to debate a little bit about it, the changing nature of who we are as American Indian people in the 21st century. And it's one of the greatest things because we're progressing, we're making progress, we're trying to make our people stand out in a world where many things are going on, and especially the country where we are in the United States, from the north to the south to the east to the west, there's all kind of tribulations that people face every day in everyday life. And we just want to try to talk about how us on the Powwow Trail Native Americans handle the stresses of everyday life. Me as a former powwow singer, not former, because I still sing. I just put my sticks away for a little bit to finish up some business that I have to take care of. But it's about taking care of our tradition and understanding who we are and where we come from as Native Americans. That's right. I'm a Native American. I'm from the Kiowa tribe of Oklahoma. We shout out to those people having a good time at the Native American Indian Fair there in Anadarko, Oklahoma. Hopefully it's a great time down there. I sure do miss the pageantry, the excitement of it. But that goes back to the topic of commercialism, what we talked about a few weeks ago, and how it's really come into the things that we as Native American people have to face today, as in the changing of our culture with mixing of values, which are of a different tradition and way of life, that as we've modernized ourselves and we come to grips with the reality of the things in the world, how we've picked it up and we've adapted to these things. And you know what? Today, our topic, we're talking about the competitive nature, the spirit of competition. You know, we're like everybody else. We're competing for likes. We're competing for listens. We're competing for just entertainment value. But that's what happens in life. You know, competition happens. And that's when it does happen, it brings out the best of people. Sometimes it brings out the worst, and that's what about competition. It's the same way without powwows. Competitive powwows, singing and dancing. I remember some of the things we talked about on that debate with Elaine Miles and Trilby. We talked about the changing ways of some people go to the powwow just to dance, and then when their time is to stop dancing, they go and sit down and wait and take their regalia off and get ready and just wait for them to start dancing again until their time to compete. And it's just the changing of the ways, the changing of natures. One of the reasons why we go to powwows. We know there's people who are competitive going the powwow trail. That's all they do from weekend to weekend, to hit powwow, powwow, powwow. And these are competitive powwows where you can win some money, good money sometimes. Not so much, but enough to get you to that next powwow, to continue on that powwow trail. And so how do these competitions really help and bring the spirit out? What is the spirit of competition? Well, let's think back, and I'm going to take you on a journey back to my times. It's not very far. It's about 20 years ago, maybe when I was in my 20s, early teens, late teens, early 20s. I moved from the state of Oklahoma, Carnegie, Oklahoma, living out there at a place called Cedardale. And well, I moved up to the Pacific Northwest with my relatives who live up there, my uncle's children. And this is where I got to see really different kind of competitive powwowing, because as you move from different locations throughout the United States, powwowing, competitive competition, each powwow, they have different ways of doing things, and competitive powwows, whatever, they're all basically the same. Yeah, you have judges for drum contests, you have judges for each individual contest, dancing contest, singing contest, and these judges, they have to do what is kind of pretty tough to me when I look at it. It's a tough job you judges have, those who are picked to do that, to look at all these dancers, to listen to all the music that you hear, and to make choices, the competitive choices that we see in these, to say this one danced better than that one, or that one group sung better than that one. But in reality, the spirit of competition is about how it brings the best of what our people have, and the talent that they bring. Some of the drum groups that I can remember when I moved to the Pacific Northwest from Oklahoma during the time period of the 90s, you were some big drum groups up north in the Northwest that I'd never heard of before, and I started to hear them. You know, maybe some of you, if you're listening to the Northwest, can recall some of these: Iahe Nakota, Indian Nations, Pipestone Creek, Painted Horse, Black Lodge. They were real big at that time. There was Blackstone. There was a lot of drum groups then. Then you had the Southern drum groups who were pretty popular during that time and making their waves through the powwow circuits. Southern Thunder. You had the Cozans. You had Yellow Jacket. You had Rose Hill. You had another group that I moved up there called Redstone. Redstone, not the Oklahoma. They're a great group. They've been up there. They were telling me stories about Redstone, Washington. They, too, went to a competition one time, and they were both at the same drum group, and they had to keep looking at each other. Which Redstone do they mean? Oh, they had to kind of identify. Redstone, Washington, we mean. Thong, yeah. Hey, God dang. But that was the spirit of the competition. You know, drum groups, some of them have the same name. Sometimes they share. But that's where you sit there. It's like, oh, I know these guys. I heard them sing before. Redstone, I was here, but I had a... When I first heard Redstone, Washington, I was thinking about my uncle and them, those who sang for the Redstone there in Oklahoma. They're a great group. And I thought, wow, they're all the way up here. I'm going to go and sit and listen. It was a different one. It was a different competition. But boy, howdy, these were some great singers led by Silverhorn and some members of the Crow Creek Tribe, Grovant Tribe, some Comanches on that tribe. And they're up in Washington, which is pretty neat. See how the reach that our competitions make. But anyways, going back to these things, these competitions that I got to sing when singing with Redstones, because they were pretty good drum there in Washington. They were pretty known. People either liked them or they didn't like them. When they showed up, there is this admiration, though. They knew that when this group was going to show up, they knew that they were going to get the best each and every time. And that's what competition powers, the spirit of competition. It's enjoyable. It's fun. Because people get to do and bring out the best, like I say, of what they do. You get to see some of the best dancers dancing with that spirit moves them to do, to the beat of that drum. And then you hear the singers singing their hearts out, putting their heart and soul into that drum, making that spirit beat out into that arena, touching the hearts of those. And that's where the spirit of competition, How does it work on the powwow trail? How is it one of those things that you manage to say, how does this work? How do they figure these things out? You know, that's one of the things that we try to figure out as American Indians, how it works. And sometimes it's not always who we think are going to win. And sometimes it's, well, why didn't this person get picked? Or why didn't this group, they sound better? But in reality, that's one of the dilemmas that I would see, and I would say, because it's really hard. Again, those judges have one of the hardest, toughest things to do, because in the powwow world, in the powwow circuits, in these powwow competitions, you go from powwow to powwow, you meet new people, and you see them there. Some are going to go to this powwow, some are going to go to that powwow, and boy, how do they know this people, and they know that people, and they say, hey, this is kind of fixed or anything. But no, that's not really. Because really, you got to look at them judges. I don't know all the judges in the world and the different powwows. I've never been to every powwow in the world. I do know that there's a lot of powwows in the United States and in Canada, and they have their ways of doing them, and that's good. And that's where I sit, the spirit of competition. How tough is it in the Native American arena powwowing? Because it's really tough when you sit there and look at the drum group, and you know they got different things that they're looking at, maybe probably how your drum looks, how you guys are dressed, or even regalia when you're dancing. They're looking at your regalia, how you're dressed, how it matches, the colors that you have. And that's the tough part. The tough part of the spirit of competition is saying, how can you pick one dancer or one drum group over another when they're all there bringing out that same good spirit? And that's why the spirit of competition in the powwow world is one of the most amazing things to me, because it's not only bringing out the best, it has also given us an opportunity to take part and be sharing in the joy that you see from some of these great dancers that you meet in the powwow world, and some of the great singers you meet in the powwow world. These drum groups, I can recall the ones that I've met from different ones, you know, from Southern Cree, from... wow, there's all kind of drum groups that I can think of. Northern Cree, you got groups like Yahei, Nakota, you got Kicking Woman, you've got these different groups from Browning, Montana, that I can remember back in my times up in Washington, running on the powwow circuit up there in the Northwest. And boy, howdy, there weren't a whole lot of Southern competition, so it was tough as a Southern singer during that time period. I don't know how it is today. I know there's some great Southern drum groups now. You got great groups like Southern Boys. You got Thunder Hill. You got Wild Band of Comanches. You've got Kozan Steel. You have Black Bear Creek. I don't know. Some of these groups, I don't know if they're still together, but if they are or not. But that's the reality. You have all these great groups who are bringing all these talented singers who are getting together. And then sometimes you sit there and say, hey, don't that guy sing with that group, or that guy sing, and now look at them, they're over here. It's like, did they switch? But that's the reality, the spirit of competition. These singers and dancers and everything, they're all united in one. It doesn't matter about who wins or who loses. It's about the joy that you share when we're at that powwow. And that's the key thing, because the spirit of the competition, it's like anything else. Nobody likes to lose. Everybody wants to win. But in reality, we know not everybody's going to win, and not everybody's going to lose. Those who do win, we take pride in that. We take joy in that. We look at what they are doing, how they're doing. And again, this is an opinion. This isn't fact. There's different things that people might want to say and do and talk about when they're on the powwow trail, because sometimes they might think it's biased. Again, I'm not here to talk about that. Because the spirit of competition is what we're at. Why do we have competitive powwows if we don't like the way things do, people do? That's just one of those things that you got to ask. Why do you go to them? Why do you pay money to go to do these things for these competitions? Why do we support them if we complain about them? And those are the things as Native American people that sometimes we talk about. Maybe we don't fully understand the powwow world. I don't, as even though I've been around this powwow for a long time, most of my life, and taking away hiatuses, some might question me about that, but that's okay. That's all right. You know, we all have been through different powwows. We see different things. We go and we compete in our different ways, and that's the key to what we have in the powwow world. And the spirit of competition, it's really one of the greatest things that we have. It's one of the benefits that we enjoy of powwows, the reasons why we go, not to compete, but to show the best that we have as Native American people. And that's the key thing, the best we're bringing to help others, to bring joy, to bring that smile on the face that a lot of us need, especially after a hard work week. We know a lot of you got done with a hard work week. We hope you're enjoying the Native Broadcast Network, because we are now going to go into a new section of our movies, of our show. It is called The Movie Review with Sam Storm. So with ladies and gentlemen, let's get into that.
Let's all go to the lobby. Let's all go to the lobby. Let's all go to the lobby to get ourselves a treat.
Hey, hey, and welcome back to the Native Broadcast Network to this new segment that we are introducing on the program. It is the Sam Storm's Movie Review. We're happy you're joining us and thanking us. And Sam Storm, we're glad that you're taking time to give us your thoughts, because you've been watching a lot of movies.
Well, thank you. I appreciate being here.
And Sam Storm, as before we go on and proceed into our movie reviews and the reviews that you have for us, let's get a little bit of the fans some information about you. Who are you, Sam Storm? What's your background?
Well, I graduated a couple years ago from Ottawa University, go Braves, and I also have been a movie critic for actually longer than that. I've been doing movie reviews for about 7 years through a anonymous company, and I just heard you needed some movie reviews, so I figured why not come talk to you.
Oh, what a great thing that you're hearing that we needed those movie reviews. I bet you you've got all kind of movie quotes in your head that you just want to share with our fans, right?
Oh, I've got tons of quotes I could give you, and one of them is actually from one of the most recent movies that are out this summer that we'll be talking about a little later.
Oh, that's awesome. So what kind of movie reviews are you going to give us? We are on a different kind of system, you know. I don't know if you love that fry bread too, right?
Oh, fry bread? Oh, yes.
So we're going to give our fry bread movie reviews. And you know what? Sam Storm and those who are listening, he's got some great reviews. Plus, you're going to give us some recommendations of some movies from different areas that people are streaming. I know people love to stream their movies. I'm going to ask you about your thought, because I'm a Parks and Rec fan. Well, howdy. I need your review on that, because that's one of my favorites.
Well, even though it just recently ended, it is one of the greatest shows with all the hidden humor in it. And, of course, that's where Chris Pratt got his start, who is still doing big from Guardians of the Galaxy and this summer's Jurassic World.
He was kind of chunky when he started that.
Yes.
Wasn't he?
Oh, yeah. Well, what do you expect, living in a hole?
Are you living in a hole there, Sam Storm?
Not yet?
I've seen you digging one over there. Oh, I'm just kidding. that's for another episode, ladies. We'll tell that story. But Sam Storm, let's hear about your movie reviews. What movies are you going to review for us today?
Well, with the summer wrapping up, I thought maybe today would be a good day to talk about the top five movies of the summer.
Sweet, the top five movies of the summer.
I've got four that were actually kind of really mainstream, and one that was kind of a hidden gem that I like to say.
All right.
Of course, everyone knows about Jurassic World that came out this summer with Jurassic World, which is the 25 years in the making sequel to Jurassic Park.
Oh, sweet. And I love the original Jurassic Park, I'll tell you what.
And this one, it really brings some reference in from the classic original movie from back in the 90s. However, it does stand on its own.
It does stand on its own.
There is some spots in it that make you scratch your head and go, this makes absolutely no sense. But all in all, for a good story and a good action-packed movie, I would strongly recommend it. And tell you what, I ain't going to tell you who it is, but the one who defeats the monster at the end will really surprise you.
It's me. I know it's me. I defeated it.
Yeah. I wasn't going to tell him.
It's too late. Spoiler alert. It was me. I'm a good actor.
But they're predicting that if you don't get a chance to see it in theaters, they are predicting that it should be out on DVD and Blu-ray around Christmas.
Oh, wow. DVD and Blu-ray on Christmas. So what are your intake on that movie? What did you think? What are some of the great things that you liked? What are some things that you didn't like? And what do you think the fans who haven't seen it would appreciate about Jurassic World?
I think the hints at the original series would definitely make it worth seeing. I mean, they talk about it a couple times, but there's also some subtle little secrecies that only if you were a fan of the original series would you catch.
Oh, like the Easter eggs.
Exactly.
All right. So what would you, as we've gone into Jurassic World, this is your first one. Is that your number five pick?
That is my number five pick.
What is your fry bread review on that?
I would say A good 3.5 to 4.
3.5 to 4. Why right. wouldn't it get at 5 fry breads? What are some of the reasons?
Well, there's some stuff that, like I said, scratches your head and makes no sense. Like, for example, one of the main heroines of the movie spends the whole movie running from the monster and a T-Rex in high heels and is still able to survive.
Holy moly.
And there's also another scene that has made a lot of internet hype because there is a scene where a bunch of pterodactyls are attacking the main port where all the bars and stuff are, and there's a gentleman who stops while all these flesh-eating monsters are after him to grab his 2 margaritas.
It sounds like that scene from when the Tyrannosaurus ate the guy in the toilet.
Yep, exactly.
Oh, so those are some of the things that stood out. What about the positive things that really will make people love the 3.5 review?
The positive are, once again, like I said, the Easter eggs of the classic. The story is really good. The whole seeing how, from watching the classic movies, seeing how the park has changed and evolved. Because in this, the park is up and functioning. They've actually built it, made all safety precautions needed, until, of course, the camera crew comes in, and then, like, hey, guess what? We're going to make it a horrible disaster. But, yes, all in all, it is a good movie. It is, if you are a Jurassic Park fan at all, it is worth seeing. And hey, it can't be worse than Jurassic Park 2, right?
Hey, I didn't even see Jurassic Park 2. That just made me mad. So let's go on to your fourth. What is your fourth movie?
My fourth movie is actually Ant-Man.
Ant-Man?
Yes. Wow. It is another one of the Marvel movies.
This was just recently released as well?
Yes. This one was actually released about 3 weeks ago.
3 weeks ago. Awesome.
They're also looking for a release date around the holiday season.
For DVD?
Yes.
And streaming? Awesome.
So, and we're looking at, this movie is taking a character who actually was one of the original Avengers in the comic books.
The Avengers. So let's talk about Ant-Man. Who, if they don't know, if you're listening and they aren't familiar with Ant-Man, when did he first appear? Let's get a little bit of
he
your movie.
He first appeared in the movie universe, he first appeared here.
Oh.
However, in the comic book universe, he appeared first when the Avengers. He was one of the founding Avengers.
Oh, so he's been part of the series for a long time in the comic books, but just now coming to the
correct
big screen. Little screen for him, really.
Yeah. The interesting thing about Ant-Man is most of his weapons and gadgets are pacifistic. He does not want to hurt people.
No.
So he has stuff much like some of his abilities. His ability, obviously, he can shrink down to the size of an ant.
Yes.
And he has mental powers to control ants. Some of his weapons cause other things to shrink and grow. And he also has an interesting type of explosive that actually sucks it into a vortex, kind of like an implosion grenade. So even the debris of whatever he's blowing up gets sucked into a black hole, so no one gets hurt.
Oh, okay, so we got a little bit. So is there a lot of action to this movie? Is there a lot of drama? And this one you gave how many fry bread review on that one?
Oh, this one is definitely a 5 fry.
Oh, 5 fry all the way.
I would even pour some honey on that fry bread because it's so sweet.
That is how sweet it is, ladies and gentlemen. 5 fry bread. So what are some of the things that... the reasons why they'll like it, and what are some of the things that they might... Hey, wait a minute.
Paul Rudd plays an excellent Scott Lang, the gentleman who is a convict who actually is trying to set his life right. As a matter of fact, one of the best lines in the movie is when the creator of the suit, Hank Pym, says, hey, I need you for a project. He goes, that's right, I'm turning good, I'm no more. I'm not going to break in anymore. I'm done breaking in and stealing stuff. What you need done? And Hank Pym turns and says, I need you to break in and steal some stuff. And Scott's just like, makes perfect sense.
Oh, plot.
Yes. And, I mean, it has the comedy aspect of Paul Rudd and action and just... and it has that Marvel catch to it. There's a couple... if you've seen Captain America the Civil War, Falcon makes an appearance. If you stay to the very end of the movie, Captain America makes an appearance.
Oh, so there's some treats, and actually you kind of gave away a little bit of it, but that's all right. It's still a 5-star fry bread review with some honey on top. That is a pretty big review there. And are there any other things about that movie that really stood out to you?
Well, I mentioned earlier about there's a quote from a movie that just stuck with me, and you have to see the movie to understand the quote. but I'm going to give you the quote so when you see the movie, you can laugh.
Awesome.
The quote is, that's not a keychain.
That's not a keychain. So now I've got to go see the movie to see what it is.
Exactly.
All right. So what are the other movies that we have? That was number four. What's number three?
Number three is another movie that was very highly anticipated, and I went into it actually with low expectations.
Oh, yeah? Which one was that?
Ted 2.
Ted 2. Oh, if Ted 1 was a pretty freaking awesome show.
This one, he is looking for his civil rights as a living creature.
As a living creature.
It focuses on liberal rights and what defines a person.
Oh.
And it really goes into it and goes into depth. This one is definitely one of those that you do not let your kids watch.
Okay.
It is very hilarious. I actually walked out of the theater laughing and crying at the same time.
I heard you wet on yourself a little bit.
Maybe a little, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. But with tons of cameos, you have Patrick Warburton in there, if people know that's Joe from Family Guy. Michael Dorn, the one who played Worf on Star Trek The Next Generation, he's in there at a Comic-Con dressed as a random Klingon.
Go figure.
Yes. And at the beginning of the movie, Liam Neeson makes a cameo appearance.
Oh, man.
As his Taken character.
So it's pretty much a star-studded film.
Oh, yes. And laughing from beginning to end. I was very, very impressed with it.
Does this have a release date pretty soon?
They are saying that is going to be around October 20th.
And that's
going
to be DVD. So those are the ones to look out to. Again, not child-oriented.
Oh, no. And with being Seth MacFarlane, I can almost guarantee there's going to be an unrated edition as well as the theater edition. And frankly, the unrated edition, I can't see how they could do much more than what they did with their rated R setting.
So what are your ratings on that one? Your red rating?
That one's a 5 all the way there.
Oh, 5 all the way. Wow. I thought you was going to give it a little bit less, but it's... really good adult humor comedy.
Oh, yes.
And is it kind of like the first one as well, would you say?
I actually enjoyed this one better than the first one.
Oh, so there's a lot more to love. That's great. Yes. Ted 2, it was a great show. Ted 2, that was still in theaters, or?
It is still in theaters, and they're estimating around October for the release.
Wow, so you got limited times, and that's 5 fry breads. So we only had really one that didn't get all 5 fry breads, but now... we're going to go to number 2.
Number 2 would be one that just came out, and if you're a fan of the 80s, I just have to say one set phrase, and you'll know exactly what I'm talking about. Wally World.
Oh, Wally World.
The Griswolds are back on vacation.
And they're on vacation. Wait a minute, I have a question about this, because... no, I don't. Go ahead.
This movie, once again, has the adult humor. It is very adult humor. This is not the family vacation that we grew up with in the 80s.
Oh, it's not the... well, I don't know. It was a pretty good family vacation in the 80s. So, I don't know. How does this new vacation try to pick up where those ones in the end? Because I believe this is what its topic off of?
Yes, this is actually Rusty has grown up. He's a pilot, Rusty Griswold, and he decides, he overhears his wife, who's played by Christina Applegate,
woo-hoo,
you know, Kelly Bundy, is saying that the camping trip that they do every year, she absolutely hates. She does not know he hears this, but while he's looking through old pictures, he decides he's going to take his family cross country to Wally World like he did so many years ago as a kid.
Oh, wow. So it's kind of a older version now.
Right.
So I guess, would you suggest that maybe getting a little bit of background with the old if you've never seen it, or yes. Even better?
Oh, yes. I would definitely do the original National Lampoon's Vacation, Christmas Vacation, European Vacation, even Vegas Vacation.
Oh, wow. So those are some great things. Those were all some great ones, I know, the vacation. But the thing about Rusty Griswold is I figured he would be older than.
Yeah.
Because he's changed so many times throughout
I know, right? Well, he's played by Ed Helms this time.
Oh,
so,
okay.
I mean, and that's
oh,
a
great
good.
Actor.
Yes,
great
exactly.
Actor. Hilarious.
And we have lots of cameos throughout this movie. Chris Hemsworth plays Audrey's husband.
Oh, and who's Audrey nowadays?
Audrey is...
She's changed a few times.
Yes, she's, and actually she's played by the infamous That One Girl in That One Movie.
Oh, okay. The No Name. That is awesome. That's how you get. So what are some things that you liked about the new vacation movie, and what are some things that might be Easter eggs that people could look for?
Definitely, if you've seen the original, you'll enjoy a couple of the scenes. Like, there is a scene where you see the red convertible with the lady driving down the road. Holiday Road is played a couple times during the movie. Chevy Chase and Beverly D'Angelo make a cameo for about 10 minutes as Clark and Helen.
Awesome.
And so it is really for the fans that grew up with the Vacation series.
That's good. It's kind of a, what would you say, nostalgia.
Yes.
Basically.
However, if you've never seen them, it can still stand on its own.
It could. Oh,
yes.
Nice. So that is a good thing. So what would you give your ratings for the Vacation movie?
I went into it expecting more Chevy Chase, mm-hmm. since he is the lead of the Vacation movies. The fact that he only appeared in it for about 10 minutes kind of bummed me out. There were some scenes that were definitely not necessary, so I would give it 3.5 to 4.
3.5 to 4. So there we go. It's still a good rating because it's over 3, so that's a good thing. Once we go below 3, it's probably, you might wait for it on DVD, right?
Yeah, exactly.
So that was our... So let's go to our top pick.
Our top pick. Our top pick. I'm going to describe to you how I heard about it, and then I'm going to tell you the name of it.
All right.
After a soldier loses his battle buddy in the heat of battle, he comes home and is dealing with post-traumatic stress, flashbacks, and to the point that he can't handle life, and someone takes him under his wing.
Wow.
By the way, the soldier is a dog.
The soldier's a dog?
What?
Yes. The movie is called Max. And it's about the canine units overseas.
Oh, okay. So tell us a little bit about this, then.
I pretty much gave the description of the movie, but it really shows how the animals that are over there are affected just as much as the humans. There is one heart-wrenching scene where they actually show the funeral of his keeper, and he's laying down next to the casket crying. And it's just a really warm movie that really shows that even the animals are instilled with the once a Marine, always a Marine. The tagline for the movie is what really caught my attention. It says, "Friend, Dog, Marine." And this movie is one of those hidden gems. It was only made with $20 million. I mean, it wasn't made with much at all. And I was blown away by it. I mean...
Are you kind of biased because it's you're a military man as well?
That may be it, or I might have been able to see more into it because
That's true. That is true. And I just make that out because you are a veteran, and we do honor you for what you did in service to our country, and we appreciate that all the time, Mr. Storm. So these are some great reviews. Let's go back and let's try to get the directors of each of the movies. What was our number 5, and what was the rating, and who directed that movie?
Well, Steven Spielberg did Jurassic Park, and he comes back with Jurassic World as number 5.
Number 5, and that got a 4...
3.5 to 4.
3.5 to 4 fried bread rating. Your number 4 movie...
was Ant-Man.
Directed by... So we could find that, who it was directed
by.
Yeah,
let me look that up here real quick.
But it was a good movie that you said,
yes.
That you brought out. You gave that a...
I gave that a 5 out of 5. Michael Douglas, Paul Rudd, and Evangelina Lilly really light up the screen with that.
Plus Honey on top of it.
Oh, that's yes, Honey.
And
yes.
Then we'll go to our number 3 movie.
That was Ted 2 with Seth MacFarlane directing and starring.
And he's got some, let's see, who else is in that movie?
Mark Wahlberg is another, Amanda Seyfried, even Morgan Freeman's in it.
Okay, then, and that gave us a, how many ratings?
That was a 5 as well.
A 5 as well, it's a pretty good show. And then let's go to our number 2 show.
That was Ed Helms and Christina Applegate in Vacation.
Vacation, and we gave that a...
We gave that a... Of 3.5 to 4.
3.5 to 4. Do we know who directed that one as well?
No, I can't give the director on that
one
yet.
We'll find those in the blog review. We'll get those out to you. And then our number 1 movie review and pick by Sam Storm that he recommends you go out and see?
Max.
Max. And that was a fully How many pieces of fry bread?
That is, I'd have to open a fry bread stand on that
one.
Oh,
there you go. He's going to open up a stand. So there you go. That makes it even better.
September 29th, Blu-ray and DVD.
September 29th, Blu-ray and DVD. You know, Sam Storm, it's been great having you on the air with us. And we know that there's many people who like the Netflix, the Hulu streams. What are some of your recommended Netflix streams and Hulu watches that you must go and see that they couldn't want to miss out on?
Well, I have actually been binge-watching on a couple Netflix originals.
Oh,
I have to admit, I've gotten addicted to Orange is the New Black.
Oh, that's pretty good, I hear.
And I also have been addicted to Daredevil,
coming out.
And this fall, once again, Marvel's going to hit Netflix again with Jessica Jones. So.
Jessica Jones, all right.
And, of course, if you want some good action, you can always catch Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Or if you want some good comedy, CSI meets comedy, you could always check out Psych.
So, man, Sam Storm, we appreciate you joining us on the Native Broadcast Network, giving us your movie reviews. We're going to do this every week, ladies and gentlemen. And with Sam Storm, give us your final word and your thoughts for the movie reviews.
Well, I'll go with another movie character. As the famous Joe Dirtse says, life's a garden, dig it.
Dig it. And we do thank you for this portion of the movie review with Sam Storm. Come back next week, and he'll give you another top 5 pick of the movie.
Shut the hell up.
Let's all go to the lobby. Let's all go to the lobby. Let's all go to the lobby to get ourselves a treat.
And we do want to thank Sam Storm for giving us his first music review on the Native Broadcast Network. But without further ado, ladies and gentlemen, we are going to go into what is featured on our program, the powwow music. We hope you enjoy your weekend. We hope whatever you're doing, you stay safe. If you head to the movies, check out some of the movies that Sam Storm gave in his review, and be checking out and check out someguytalking.com, where you can take a survey on the powwow trail. That's someguytalking.com. We do thank Sam Storm, and let's get into the powwow music. Hoo-cha!
Yahweh!
come my mama, she willy come my heart, she willy come my heart, she willy one. Hey willy come my mama, she willy come my heart, she willy come my heart, she willy one. Hey willy come my mama, she willy come my heart, she willy come my heart, she willy one. Hey Wiley Donna, Liley, Liley low. Hey Wiley Donna, Liley, Liley low. Hey Walla Donna.
Hey, Walla, Donna, la, la, Liley, Walla, Hello!